glorify his name.
All my remaining days, the Lord has been so good
to me. I will on him depend, and every day where'er I be, I would his truth defend. Thank you. Certainly thankful for that wonderful message this morning, that message of hope and encouragement that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's very few places in the world that you can go and hear about how corrupt and how sorry you are by your old Adam nature, but come back encouraged because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And what a wonderful blessing. And if you don't remember anything else from my message this morning, I want you to remember this as we go to Ruth chapter 3. I want you to remember that a biblical hope in God does indeed produce righteousness. A biblical hope in God produces righteous behavior in the child of God. So in light of that, let's go to Ruth chapter 3 and we'll start reading. I want to read all of Ruth chapter 3. There's several verses in here, but I believe that we have to read the whole chapter to get the context. So encourage you to follow along this morning if you're able. Ruth chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1. The Bible says, "Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Verse 3, she says, "Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do." Verse 5, "And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down." Verse 8 says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." Verse 12, "And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down unto the morning." Verse 14, "And she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another. And he said, Let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also he said, Bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went to the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, Who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. Verse 17, "And she said, These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, Go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall, for the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Again, I believe what we have here is a wonderful word of instruction for us and God's word. And that wonderful instruction is that when we have a biblical hope in God, it produces righteousness in our lives. It produces righteous behavior. And I'm so thankful, as Brother Jay spoke this morning, I was encouraged, I was given hope, and in that hope, the blessed result of that is my faith is increased, and hopefully my attitudes and my actions are more directed towards God as I hear how corrupt I am, but how great my Lord is. That affects my attitude. That affects my actions. And if, as you were following along, some of you have probably read this chapter over and over again, but maybe this was the first time you read it. But as you start reading this chapter, I don't know if you're like me, but I start reading it, and the carnal, worldly part of me starts reading this and starts thinking, well, where is this going to go? What's going to happen in this situation? You know, and let me encourage you, as you read God's Word, take off the lens of worldliness as you read the Bible, and read it with, utilizing the Spirit of God that He's given within you. I want to tell you, my friends, this is not a chapter that goes like many of the Hollywood movies or many of the books today where we see people err and go off into immorality, but what we see here is we see God's people behaving in a righteous manner and honoring God because of their understanding of the sovereign God that they serve. You remember as we went and looked at Ruth chapter 1, we saw poor decisions were made by Naomi and her family. Her husband, during the time of famine, led them into a land that they should not have been in. And there was consequences because of that. Naomi's husband Elimelech died, and her two sons died, and there were three widows that were left there. But God in His mercy showed compassion to them, and Naomi and Ruth were able to go back to the land of their nativity. And we see that God was merciful unto those two ladies in spite of all of the poor decisions that were made. In Ruth chapter 2, we see the kind providence of God in the black clouds of all of that trouble, all of that trial. The kind providence of God shows forth, and God blesses these two women. He blesses young Ruth to be able to go and glean from the fields of Boaz. My friends, we see people here that had seen the kind providence of God, and I want you to see in Ruth chapter 3, I want you to see their actions. I want you to see the decisions that they made. They were made in light of the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords who had blessed them thus far. Remember the three characters. We have Naomi, the one who at the in Ruth chapter, at the beginning of the book of Ruth, we see that she says, just call me Mara. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara because the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. In chapter 2, we see that she recognizes the providence of God, and it was not just mere happenstance or mere luck that that Ruth ended up in the field of Boaz. They see the hand of God. Ruth sees the hand of God blessing her. She was the one that said to her mother-in-law, I'll go with you and your God shall be my God. And remember Boaz. Boaz was the godly man. He had great wealth, but he was a man of God, and he carried godly conversations with his worker. These aren't Hollywood characters like you'd see in movies today. These were people that were blessed to have their hope in God. And I want you to see this through the lens of that truth that what we see in Ruth chapter 3, we see all of the players here serving God and going forth in faith that God was going to bless, in faith that God was going to deliver. So one question I want us to see here as we look at Ruth chapter 3 is the question of what does a God-filled man, what does a God-dependent young woman, and what does a God-exalting older woman do when they're filled with hope in a sovereign God, when they're blessed to see the providential hand of God? How do they react? Well, we see it here. They react in a manner of service, don't they? They react in a manner of service. We see it in Naomi towards her daughter-in-law, Ruth. The very beginning, we'll see that. We see in Ruth and her actions towards Boaz. We see it in Boaz and his actions towards Ruth. And my friends, I want you to understand that as we are lifted up and given a godly hope, a biblical hope, as we sit under the preached Word of God, as we have this morning, and as we read and study the Word of God, it affects our righteousness as well. So what we see here, we don't see what happens out in Hollywood or what happens in the carnal world. We see integrity. We see virtue in these verses here in chapter 3. We see a hope. We see a confidence in the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords who blesses us. So as we go back to Ruth chapter 3, we notice in verses 1 through 5, we see Naomi. Again, a biblical hope in God produces righteousness. It produces righteous behavior. We see that here in Naomi. In verses 1 through 5, we have the dialogue here of between Ruth and Naomi. Again, this was coming on the heels of what we read in chapter 2, where Naomi clearly saw that the Lord was in this matter, that God had blessed her daughter-in-law to go to the field of Boaz and glean from the field of Boaz. It says in chapter 3 then that Naomi is speaking to her daughter. She says unto her, "Now, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now, we see a portion of Naomi's life where she's just paralyzed because of the circumstances of life. When she returns back to Jerusalem, what does she say? She says, "You just call me bitter." She had been thumped on the head by the circumstances of life. But in chapter 2, she sees the kind providence of God shine down upon her and shine down upon her family, and it makes a difference, doesn't it? What do we see here? Now she says to Ruth, "Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" What she saw here, she saw God blessing in this relationship between her daughter-in-law and Boaz. My friends, is it not so in our lives when we see the providence of God and the wonderful blessing of God in our lives and we have that hope in God, does it not move us? Yeah. You know, the brother's message this morning, it moved me. It blessed my heart and strengthened me to want to serve God, to want to share the wonderful things that God has done for me. In other words, Naomi here, she's not stagnant when she sees the hand of God moving. Sometimes people may ask the question, "Well, why do you as a church, why do you constantly go back to the sovereignty of God? Why do you constantly refer back to the doctrines of election and the doctrines of predestination? Why do you as a church constantly go back to speaking about Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross?" Well, it's because it gives us hope, and we need that hope to move forward in life. My friends, if we're not preached that balanced gospel, the balanced truth that tells us that we are great sinners, but we serve a great Savior, we'll grow stagnant, won't we? This church will grow stagnant, and we will lose focus if we don't go back to the cross and go back to what Jesus has done for us. If we don't go constantly refer to the sovereign God overall, we'll quickly turn away from honoring and serving God to just going through some mere routine. To just going through the motions, if you will. You know, Naomi in Ruth chapter 1, I believe she was there at that stage in life. She was just going through the motions because of all the circumstances that had occurred. But as she saw the providence of God blessing and God providing for her, God providing for her daughter-in-law, she's encouraged. She's given hope. And what does she do? Well, she goes and seeks how to serve her daughter-in-law, Ruth. This isn't some meddling mother-in-law. This is a godly woman that's reacting to the hand of God in her life. So she goes in verse 2 and says, "Now is not Boaz our kindred with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." What she's going to say to Ruth is, you go to this Boaz and you go to him, and you know, here he's a godly man. And understand that, you know, this is a love story. You know, we can see it implied in chapter 2, and as we go into chapter 3, there was a great love for Boaz towards Ruth. And there was a great love we see as we go on in chapter 3 of Ruth towards Boaz, a godly love. So when she tells Naomi or Ruth to go and do this, she sees the hand of God. She says, you know, here's my daughter-in-law that God has blessed, one that loves the Lord, one that we read here in chapter 3 that has a reputation for virtue and godliness. Go to this man that has a reputation of godliness and virtue and go from there. We'll see here in just a minute. But understand, Naomi, she was acting in a righteous manner. You know, she had a godly vision that she saw that the Lord was in this matter. So she sends Ruth over. And we see that hope and that encouragement urges her to move. Do you feel the hope this morning that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord? You know, there are times when we get hopeless, isn't it? There are times when the circumstances of life get us to the state that Naomi was in Ruth chapter 1, a state of bitterness, a state of stagnancy. But my friends, as we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we see what God has done for us, it gives us hope. You know, David said in Psalm 42, he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He says, "And why art thou disquieted in me?" He says, "Hope thou in God," and notice what he says, "for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Here was one that was hopeless at the beginning of this book that now has hope because she's seen the hand of God in her life and she moves. Yeah. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. That's why we need to be here under the preached Word of God. That's why we need to be encouraging one another in the Word of God. Our hope moves us towards righteous action. And that's what happens here. Well, as we go on in Ruth chapter 3, we see Ruth and her righteous actions. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 6, notice what happens. Oh, verse 5, Ruth says unto her mother-in-law, she says, "All that thou sayest unto me, I'll do." And then what does she do? She goes. She went down on the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had bade her. And what happened? Boaz ate and he was filled. He drank and his heart was merry. He went to lie down for the night. She went there and the Bible says she came softly. She uncovered his feet and laid herself down. Now let me repeat this, and I think we'll see this as we look at a couple of other places in the Bible. You know, her intentions were noble. Her intentions were righteous. You know, what was going on here, you might ask. Well, what we have here is we have the fulfillment of a Jewish tradition for one thing. Again, these two love one another. And what she was doing, she was coming to Boaz in the way that the tradition was, and she says, "I'm coming and I'm going to submit myself to you." Well, what does that mean? To uncover his feet and lay down. What she was doing, she was submitting herself. This virtuous woman was submitting herself to a virtuous man. And what does she say? It says in verse 9, he says, "Who art thou?" And she answered and said, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." Now, Ruth goes one step beyond what her mother-in-law told her to do, and she goes and she says, "You're my near kinsman." See, this was a virtuous woman. She understood the commandments of God for that time as well. Yep. For what we'll see next time, if the Lord blesses us, we continue to look at the book of Ruth. God had made provision for those that had lost their husbands. There was the law of the kinsman redeemer. But she goes, and she goes in confidence and says, "Spread your skirt over your handmaid." Well, what does that mean? Spread your skirt over your handmaid. What she was saying here was that you have been kind to me. You're a godly man. You're a man of God. And I submit myself unto you. She was pledging her love and devotion as a virtuous woman towards a godly man. Now, as you study the Word of God, you'll see this in one other place. You can go to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 16. Yeah. In Ezekiel chapter 16, we have a wonderful picture here. This is a spiritual picture in Ezekiel chapter 16 of God's relationship towards His bride. And what does it say? God speaking to Israel, he says, verse 8, Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 8, he says, "Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love." He's speaking of his people, Israel. He says, "And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." This is not some tawdry, immoral act that was going on, but this was a virtuous woman submitting herself unto a godly man. And God says to Israel here, I spread my skirt over thee. What a wonderful picture that is. You realize that for us today, God is indeed our heavenly husband, don't you? And aren't you thankful that he has covered us with his skirt? Well, for the nation of Israel, he says, "I've done this." Now in Ezekiel, the judgment of God comes down because they rejected him. They turned to the gods of the people. But do you see the principle here? So Ruth goes to Boaz and says unto this godly man, "I submit myself unto you. Cover me with your skirt." Now this is interesting as well as we think about this picture. The word skirt literally means wings. Now, where did we hear that before? Well, we saw that in Ruth chapter 2. Now, remember what Boaz said to Ruth. Said, "The Lord recompense thy work." Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Now, understand, there's some subtlety here. This was a man that loved this woman. And we see in Ruth chapter 2, there was a love for Ruth towards Boaz. There was a tender affection there. My friends, that's the way love should be. You know, we live in a time today where everybody wants to be in your face. You know, people are so presumptuous today. But we have a biblical example. You know the love that's shown here is not some in your face, some fleshly, lusty thing. Yeah, but what we see here in Ruth chapter 3 is, you know, she says, oh, the picture we have here, Boaz says to Ruth, "You came and you come to trust under the wings of the Lord." And what Ruth said in her actions towards Boaz is that you are a man of God and I submit myself under your wings. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Young men, young ladies. There's an example for you as you go and you go forward and choose someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. There's an example for you. You know, here was a godly woman. Boaz acknowledges, "You're a godly woman. You have come to trust in the wings of God." And the godly woman comes to the godly man and says, "I submit myself unto you. I submit myself under your wings because you trust under you. You put your trust under the wings of God." That's beautiful, isn't it? Amen. That's the primary determining factor of who you want to spend the rest of your life with. Not the way somebody looks. And let me tell you this, if somebody does anything more than this and wants you to compromise your values, compromise what you believe from the Word of God, run away. These were virtuous people acting in a virtuous way. You know, she trusted in the wings of the Lord. Here was a godly man. She says, "I submit myself unto you. I submit myself under your wings because you trust in the wings of the Lord." Isn't that a beautiful picture? They were emulating the example that the Lord has for his people. That's right. And that's what we should be striving for in our relationships as we seek a prospective spouse, to emulate the love that Christ has for his church. So we see that happens here. What a beautiful picture. And shame on anyone that would try to make anything other than that with this. Says again, going back to Ruth chapter 3, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I am Ruth thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." And he says, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor." She was a godly woman. She desired to serve God. She desired to honor God. She saw in Boaz a man that honored God, a man that loved God, and she submitted herself unto him. In the tradition of the day, she came and put herself at his feet and said, "Cover me with your skirt." What a precious picture that is. Again, a hope in God produces righteous behavior. They had a hope of God.
That's right.
And then we see with Boaz here, for time's sake, we see Boaz behaving in an honorable way. Ruth was one of virtue. Naomi had showed forth righteousness in serving her daughter-in-law, wanting to minister to her daughter-in-law. And in Boaz, we see here his honorable character. Again, the law of the kinsman redeemer. Just in a nutshell, we'll go into it a little bit more in depth later. But again, if there was a woman that her husband died, they had the law of the kinsman redeemer, where the near kinsman could marry that woman to keep the family name alive, to keep the family structure, if you will, intact. So she says, "You're my near kinsman." And notice Boaz, he responds, "Blessed be thou of the Lord." Now, his thoughts and his intentions at that time were spiritual thoughts and godly intentions. Perhaps you're at, let me stop here, I won't charge you for this, but perhaps you're thinking this morning that can this be in the world that we're living in today, that this can happen? I'll say yes, by God's grace it can. I tell you, I'm sick and tired of folks in this world just acquiescing to the best of the worst in this world. You know, we live in a time today, politically speaking, we say, "Well, I've got to pick the best of the worst." I heard someone say the other day, you know, with this political season, "I just got to hold my nose and vote." Or we look out in the world and we say, "Well, you know, I've just got to pick the best of the worst as far as a spouse." No, there's a godliness and a godly behavior from the children of God that adhere to God's word, that have a hope in God, and it's blessed. That's what we're to be seeking. You know, we go vote. We don't need to seek the best of the worst. We need to try to seek godly men. You know, as we seek a spouse, you may say, "Well, the pool is shallow out there." No, trust in God. You know, hold out for those with godly character, godly morals, godly values. You can put that in every avenue of life. Here was a man, you know, he was an honorable man. He didn't take advantage of her. He's professing the goodness of the Lord here in verse 10. "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor." And now what we're going to see here is we're going to see the character of Boaz. He says in verse 11, "Now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people know that thou art a virtuous woman." He says, "Now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down unto the morning." Do you see the honorable character of Boaz? He recognizes that God had set forth the standard, and he was going to stick to God's standard. Did he love this woman? I believe he did. He had a great love for her. You know, that tender affection, you know, with him saying, calling her my daughter, that was a connotation that meant he had an affection towards her. You know, and she loved him. But I tell you, the passions and lust didn't dominate. Honoring God was still first and foremost in his life. And I tell you, in 2016, we're to still stand upon that standard of God's word. In the ballot box, in the choosing of a prospective mate that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, and the leaders in the church, and those that you come into contact with, Lord, help us to have the lofty standards of God's word first and foremost. He was a man of honorable character. He didn't buy into the world's philosophy of today that if it feels good, do it. You know, there were a lot of opportunities to do the wrong thing. But they stood upon the foundation of God's commandments. What a wonderful blessing that is. What an example that is. Young people, don't compromise your purity because you think that you just have to acquiesce to the lowest common denominators of this world to make it in this world. Trust in God that He'll bless. The God of providence that blessed during the time of Ruth, you know, He's just the same today. As the old hymn goes, and the God that lived in the olden times, He's just the same day. He is, and He will bless when we stand upon His principles. And I tell you, we are encouraged when we are made to hope in the things of God through a steady diet of the Word of God, the preached Word of God, reading the Word of God, pouring out our petitions to God in prayer. He'll bless us. He'll bless us as His people. Here were three people that were committed to righteousness, and God blesses them. We're going to see that He blesses in an incredible way as we go on in Ruth chapter 4. But Lord, help us to live up to the lofty standards of His Word. May the Lord add His blessing, amen, is my prayer.
Amen. Amen. Turn to hymn number 95. Hymn number 95. Water baptism is exactly what Brother Michael has shared with us this morning. Because you love the Redeemer, water baptism is just as symbolic